Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee for this access that we have from this place, a condemned, ruined world. We can lift up a prayer that will ascend from this place. Though feeble words from cold hearts, we know the words ascend up into eternity. And are received in thine own heart. So we would cast ourselves on thy mercies. This world is on the way to ruin and hell and fire. We cry out to thee that thou wouldst save any soul that's here in this room on their way to judgment and fire without Christ. When we think of this ruined, poor, miserable world, we pray for that soul closest to hell. Seek mercy. For the glory of Christ, we pray for sinners. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Be in time. Sometimes we think because of what we see around us and we're victims of routine and custom, things that time is permanent. This song tells us that time is gliding swiftly by, but really in a certain sense it isn't. Time doesn't pass. Men pass. Time waits for them. What time they've spent here is waiting for them. Just one step away in the fire. This world is already condemned. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 32. But when we are judged, I'm not talking to an unbeliever here, I'm talking to believers that might be sitting in this room, and you might be looking at us. You might be looking around to see what you can see in us, believers. You might be deciding your eternal destiny based on what you see around you. This verse tells us that it's true. God will chasten us. We are His. He chastens us so that we should not be condemned with the world. Not be condemned with the world. World is already condemned. Where would you take your stand? Where would you be? And God closes it all in. He finishes His offer of mercy. It may be that I don't finish the sentence I'm working on right now, because the Lord Jesus is coming. God owes it to Jesus Christ to shut this place down and bring Him back in glory. He owes it to Jesus Christ, all the glory which belongs to Him. This world, because it took its place against Christ, is condemned. And anyone sitting here tonight refusing the Lord Jesus will be condemned with this world. Time for you is passing. Your opportunities are going by. Maybe this is the last one, because the Lord Jesus is coming. And He's going to take and make a shout. And all of His own, all of us, belonged to him by faith. Everyone over the face of the earth were going to meet him in the clouds. Never again would you hear an offer of mercy from God. Sealed in a doom, unavoidable, because he refused God's offers of mercy, eternal love, offering eternal salvation, refusing by a hard heart who says, no, I'll take my stand with this world against God. Condemned with this world. I'd like to read some passages. First, I'd like to go to Luke 16. I want to read about a man who was here. He is not here now, but he is. Luke 16, verse 19. And I read it this way for emphasis. There is a certain rich man. There is a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my house, to my father's house, where five brethren he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He was a man. I should say, here is a man. That man is not. The man is tonight. He used to be here in this world. And he passed his days in this world. And he lived sumptuously. He lived in pleasures all of his life. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In verse 4, the heart of the wise is in the funeral parlor, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Verse 6, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. You know, we're passing through a world. And the only hope this world has is what this book says. And we're passing through this world that is in such a condition that the only wisdom it has is in a funeral parlor. You go to universities, you don't learn anything about the truth. You go to the president's palaces, you don't learn anything about the truth. The only place in this world that is telling the truth is the house of mourning. I don't think I've ever heard in my life anyone say, well, let's go out tonight. Let's go to the funeral parlor. That's where the truth is told. Death is here. Sin is here. And the Lord Jesus, I want to tell you, was here. He's no longer here. These fools, this world of fools, and the world is existing now for a test for believers and to manifest fools. The mirth of fools. How much effort is spent in this world to create laughter? To get a little chuckle out of people. It's like the crackling of thorns under the pot. Am I telling you something that isn't evident truth? Is there someone here who would remain with the fools and say, I'll take this world. I'll believe what it says. I refuse what God says. Cain did that. Cain was not ignorant. Cain heard God say, the earth was cursed. But he believed what the devil said. No, it's not. It tells us that in 1 John, that he was of the wicked one. He believed what the devil said. Apart from this book, and all that flows from this book, we're just believing what the devil says. It's a total system built up down here by the enemy of souls to deceive people until they end up in the lake fire. This man, back to our chapter, this man, he lived in pleasures, and he was a fool. He lived in the banqueting houses. God, in his faithfulness, had left at his doorstep a witness. And I say that because he sees Lazarus with Abraham as a messenger, because he says, send him to my father's house. I have brothers. God laid at this man's doorstep a beggar. And this man passed him by, I believe, many days on his way out to have fun and play, living sumptuously every day. And there was a man who was there saying, you've got to acknowledge God. You've got to come to terms with God. This life has an end. You're going to die. And he laughed at it and chose. Verse 25, Abraham. By the way, this is the first, I guess it's the only prayer I know of in the Bible that's made to a saint. Today, many prayers are made to saints. Don't worry, they can't help. Abraham himself couldn't help. It's too late. Abraham is not a savior. And this man could claim, Father Abraham. Abraham would look at him and say, son. That man in hell, he says, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. That man had made a choice. He says, these will be my things. This is good, that's bad. It was thy good things, his own choice that he made, and he spent it all because what he had chosen had nothing beyond this life. And he had received everything that he had come. And by his own choice. And you know, one day they held his funeral. And while his friends were on earth, sorrowing and weeping perhaps over his death, he was in hell, lamenting his life. He didn't get away from that life. Time didn't pass for him. He passed through and went on outward that was waiting for him. All that he had spent in time was there waiting for him. A fool passed through this scene. With opportunities every day, refused to choose good in this world, which is totally used up in the days you spend here. Nothing left over. Only one life will soon be passed. the entire world. Only what's done for Christ will last. Again, I say that God owes it to the man Jesus Christ to shut the whole system down because it's against Christ. It may put on a facade that has a name of Christian over many places in it. The Bible calls it a present evil age. The Bible says that God made foolish the wisdom of this world because it was the wisdom of this world that crucified Christ. It was not an uncontrolled mob. It was the legal court system. It was the religious leaders of the day sitting down to calculate the very best thing to do. Crucify him. It's the world we live in. That's the world we're going to lead. The Lord Jesus one day in Acts chapter 1, he just ascended up on high. I was impressed by the brother that read the verse yesterday, I believe it was. It said Jesus went on his way. You know, he was rejected, he was insulted, he was smitten, he was beaten, and he just kept on his way. And he went on his way in Acts chapter 1 in resurrection. He ascended and left this world just as it was. You know, we're going to ascend very shortly, us who believe, and leave it just like it is. We're going to be found left behind, condemned with this world. Be in time. These words are not just words that we have here as some way to speak things that aren't true. They're solemn words. And if this man could speak for himself tonight, but he can't. You have God's word. That's enough. Believe what God says. God to save your sinners. This man in hell lifted up his eyes. We don't know that he ever prayed before this. But here he's found praying. Nobody can help him. Nobody can help him. And tonight you're on your way, if you do not have the Lord Jesus, your Savior, you're on your way to join this man. And there you lift up your eyes. You won't see other men around you. This man has no complaints. He has no accusations. It's all so evident in his own soul. He says, I deserve to be here. He's not accusing anybody. He's not finding any friends to have fun with. He's in utter misery without and within, and he can only lift up his eyes and see what he lost. I think that the stinging, burning conscience forever will remind a lost sinner what he lost, what he had. God offered him and he refused it, and he's there justly and righteously. This man doesn't see heaven open before him. He doesn't see all the people. He only sees that messenger that he kept saying no and laughing at and wouldn't even help out a beggar. He only sees him and Lazarus and Abraham in whom he had trusted as his father by natural birth. He sees those two. And they're far off from him. There is an abyss. Fixed, and he can only see inaccessible things that once he could have had. He wants a drink of water. I'm tormenting this flame from without. He's burning. Oh, he says, if I could just have a drop of water in my tongue. He didn't have a tongue. He had these things that he just craved for, he could never satisfy. Part and parcel of the sufferings of a lost eternity. He's not asking to get out. He knows that's where he belongs. Are you trying to fool me tonight? Are you trying to fool your mother and dad? Maybe your friends? There's no fooling God. This man lives sumptuous every day. I imagine a lot of his neighbors said, oh, that man has everything. But he lift up his eyes in hell. Till right this moment, he's still in hell. From now on, he will be in torment, on into the lake of fire, forever and ever. We've talked much about the Lord Jesus and his glories. One of his glories is he will turn all the sinners to heaven. God owes it to him. He will do it. Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things." What are your good things? Have you some good thing that you say, "No, I want this. I want to choose this." God is setting forth life and death. God is setting forth life in the Lord Jesus. He's setting forth death in the refusal of the Lord Jesus. He's setting forth that you may have another minute in this world, and you may not. Because time is gliding swiftly by. And you have no guarantee that you'll ever see another sunrise. You have no guarantee you'll ever see the moon come up. You're only here at his good pleasure. And he's offering in his own good pleasure. He has kept you so you can hear this word again. And he's warning you without Christ that it won't go on forever. It's going to stop. This message will be stopped. And you may be left outside. Come to Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus. The door is open. It won't always be open. This man looks up. He's in torment. It's all clear now. All of his life is clear. Abraham knows about it. How does Abraham know about it? He wasn't God. He's not omniscient. He's not pending up there looking down on this man and following his life. No, when you get there, when you pass through death, when you pass through that, everything is clear. It's all over. It's all settled. And all with no solution. So Abraham says to him, you made your choice. You chose your good things. It doesn't say that Lazarus chose his good things. I mean, his things that he called evil. It said that he received evil things. But that's only evil in this world, as it appeared to me. Just as this man chose his good things, Lazarus was just obedient. He received what appeared to man to be evil things. Because it was the will of God. And Lazarus might have just pleaded with this man over and over again. But now it's too late. And tonight, I'm sure anyone here, that if they knew you were lost, if they knew you were just hiding behind a friend or a relative, everyone here would plead with you. Everyone here would be on their knees weeping to cause you to stop. Stop before it's too late, because this offer, the wondrous glories of that man Christ Jesus being set forth as the Savior of sinners is going to stop. You're going to be caught away in any instant. After that moment, this gospel is over. Where will you be? Whose side are you on? Where do you want to be? If you want to be with the Lord Jesus, oh, he's got his arms open. A welcome. Come. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Verse 27, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldst send into my father's house five brethren, testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. This man didn't love his brethren. There's no love down there. Hell. It would have only added, their presence would have only been another pain in his conscience for those times he had lived in such a way to influence him to get there. Nothing but misery there. He wouldn't have. Had he seen his five brothers there with Lazarus, he wouldn't have been comforted. Oh, there's no comfort there. You know, we have a very easy life, most of us. A lot of comfort in our times of trouble, a lot of help, a lot of prayers. There's a man who ended up all alone. Utter misery, no hope. Is that where you want to go? Are you willing to tell God no one more time? You know, this book ends with the word amen. One of these days, God's going to say amen to what you say. You're going to say no, and you'll say amen. Shut it up. Don't say no.